This is the Bold and Inspired Leaders Podcast. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Amber. We're having conversations with people who make bold moves and lead inspired lives. Our hope is that these conversations spark something in us and in you.
Let's get started. Welcome to the Bold and Inspired Business Podcast. Today we have Lane Schoenberger. He is the CIO, which is Chief Investment Officer of YRefi. And you have 25 years in the financial services industry, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And you retired in 2017 to start YRefi. Tell us about that.
I did. Just quick history on that. It was 25 years of amazing career. I started that with my dad. He started our firm back in 1968, and coming into the family-owned business was a real treat, getting to work with my dad day in, day out, learned a lot. How did it transition into YRefi is your question, which is kind of a fun story. When I was just an infant in that business, one of my first clients is my current partner, Don Fenstermaker, who's the CEO. And he had started a company, and I was introduced to him to bring benefits and so forth to a company that I don't think he knew where he was going with it at that time. It was just a little infant company at the time. And I often joke about, I must have done a great job with the benefits, because by 2006, 2007, he had 1,000 employees. So, you know, he did really remarkable work there. The transition for me was in 2017, and it was 2015 when Don and I reconnected and had the idea of, hey, let's do something to get back into the business of helping people, get education and so forth. Mm-hmm. We started working on ideas 2 years, and then it finally merged and formed into a company called YRefi.
Mm-hmm. And it started, the idea sounds like started with his experience with student loans.
No question.
Correct?
No question. Yeah, he had spent a lot of time in that industry from what he calls the beginning to the end of the education life cycle, mm-hmm. right? Getting kids the scholarships all the way through to the student loans, and now we're on the back end getting people out of debt. It's time to get them free of their burden of student loan debt. Mm-hmm. We're on the other end.
Yeah, kind of made fun. It all the way to the end of the cycle. Yeah, and getting people out of debt is, it's a really big thing. I think there's a lot of people who don't think that they're ever going to get out of that student loan debt.
It is unfortunate how many people are just, it's going to be considered a lifetime of servitude, and there's no reason for it. And we came up with a way to get them out of debt quick, and people love it, and it works.
How'd you come up with it?
You know, this one goes to Don. The idea of, we can get people out of debt, and he's got a bunch of experience in different businesses, if you will. So he had the education finance, and while he had that company, there was a debt settlement company that he involved. So he had an idea of how to do debt settlement. Mm-hmm. What we do here is not debt settlement. However, I refer to it as the second cousin twice removed. Right? It's not all based on that. But if you don't understand the two industries and then bring the two industries of education finance and debt settlement together, you couldn't do what we do. So it's mm-hmm. like I say, it's the second cousin twice removed. So the innovation behind that really is, it stems from all of that. And then it was, okay, goes back to how do you build a business, right? You find a need, fill a need.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We found the need, we filled the need mm-hmm. in this case. Well, then you have to find the capital to do that, which is what my job, right? Mm-hmm. To go out and find that capital, raise the capital. And then you get into the idea of, well, how do you do that, right? There's lots of ways to do it. The question was, which one works best for this company?
Mm-hmm.
So
when you think about the amount of growth that you've been able to achieve since you started it, did you anticipate this? And I want to sort of couch this with the mindset that as a founder, mm-hmm. you start something and you have these big dreams, these big visions, and then what you do is you put your head down and you go to work. And I know our experience has been every once in a while you see a major milestone and you go, oh, what? Oh, wow. Oh, we got here. Okay, I got to go back to work. There's never right. really this moment where you go, hey, I've arrived. I've hit the top of the mountain. But you both have seen incredible growth. Did you anticipate it to grow this fast when you started it?
You know, it's funny. This fast is one of those questions of what does that really mean, right? Mm-hmm. We started in 2017. There was 2 years of trying to kick it around before that. So we're at 10 years already, and it's all of a sudden we're an overnight success, right? 10 years of hard work and you're an overnight success.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did I ever see it this way? You know, what's interesting about that question is yes and no. I watched what was there before as the financial advisor, as the guy that was helping out from the outside in with what Don had built before. And I was part of a family owned business and I saw that success and had a great career doing that. So could I visualize it? Absolutely. Did I visualize quite what this is today and where we're going out of the gate? No, no, that's not, you know, you have an idea of what you want it to look like and it kind of is based on what you knew and what you've seen in the past, mm-hmm. right? Because that's really where your head is. Mm-hmm. Well, then it's okay. Now it's getting clearer and clearer. Right. And we're just here doing, and Don and I talk about this, we're here doing God's work at the end of the day, whatever direction that is, then he'll tell us and we'll do it. Yeah. That's how it goes. Mm-hmm.
So are you, some people might think, oh, well they must be at the coasting phase of a business.
I'd like to know when that starts. No, there's no coasting.
Right.
To build anything remarkable, there is no such thing as coasting. It's always every day, nose to the grindstone, roll up your sleeves, be willing to do whatever you got to do. An 8-hour day, you're just getting started. 10-hour day, you're feeling it. 12 hours, just keep going. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not uncommon to just go. You get up early in the morning, 4:30, you're at the office. I show up here around 6:15, and if I'm lucky, I'm out of here on a good day at 5, only because I'm carpooling.
Mm-hmm. Why do you show up at 6:15? Why do you get up early and go straight to work?
It's my opportunity to do a lot of work before everybody starts knocking on my door, mm-hmm. right? I can get a lot knocked out in an hour and a half before everybody starts showing up and knocking on the door and disturbing and distracting. And then, of course, at the end of the day, if I'm not carpooling, I will be here till 6:15, 7:15, whatever it takes.
Right. Other than Don cracking the whip on you, what gets you to the office? You know, I mean, it's got to be fulfilling then.
It's very fulfilling. And you know, he doesn't really crack the whip.
Yeah,
I know you are. I know you are. He's fun to work with, easy to work with,
yeah.
but also very intense in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But it is fulfilling, right? You come in and you get to know that you're doing something for the better. A betterment of society, the betterment of humankind. We talk about the borrowers. You know, right? We do a lot of work with these individuals that are in debt, and I get to do the borrower testimonials. And I've told people in the past, I'm like, you know, when you're talking to somebody who you have refinanced their loan, and you're asking, tell me about your story, right? Like what you're doing with me, right? Mm-hmm. And when they start talking about they had no hope and they were looking at options like suicide. Well, that drives me to fix this problem, right? Because that's not an option, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. Not for something that's actually fixable. Mm-hmm. Right? We just got to give them a way to do it with dignity, pay the debt back with dignity, and they'd take it. Mm-hmm. So every day I wake up and I'm thinking about, okay, who's next? Mm-hmm. How can we help the next person?
I love that.
What does that look like?
Mm-hmm. Who's out there looking for an answer, or who's given up on it, that there is an answer?
Right.
Yeah. And you also give an opportunity for fulfillment on the investor side as well. So this is allowing a lot of people, from the employees to the investors to the borrowers, mm-hmm. to yourselves, to your leadership team, an opportunity to do something good and really, you know, pour back into society.
Right. It's a lot of fun to watch people winning, you know, and it's not just the borrowers. It's like you said, the investors, the employees, the borrowers, everybody wins in YRefi. There are no losers, mm-hmm. and that's what makes it fun. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you want to build a business, figure out a way to make everybody win. You'll have more fun. You'll make more money. Everybody mm-hmm. gets excited about it.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
And that's the only way to survive at leading a business that's growing or has grown this fast, is continuing to grow that fast.
Right.
It's the only way to survive is to connect with the deeper meaning behind the work.
Right.
Because those are really long days. And I'm sure somewhere along the way there was a, wow, this is really getting big here. Was there a moment where you were ever felt any, maybe we shouldn't grow any further than where we're at? I mean, I feel like as a business owner, as humans, there's a place where we're comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
And then life brings us to a place where it's beyond that place where we were comfortable. And how do you navigate that as a business owner that's leading something at this level?
You know, first thing is being self-employed is it's a different, you have to be a different kind of animal, right? There's a different
obsessed.
Yeah. You're obsessed. There's definitely a good one. There's something different inside of people who are self-employed, mm-hmm. and you have to be willing to take the risks. And I'm going to tell you right now, finding a great partner, mm-hmm. you two know your partners, mm-hmm. finding a great partner is key. And what I mean by that is when things don't feel amazing, having someone to sit down and even vent, talk, get through it. You know, one thing that I Don and I are good about this is if I'm feeling down, he can see it and he'll come in, we'll talk and he'll lift me up. Mm-hmm. When he's feeling down, I can kind of see it and we'll sit and talk and I'll do what I can to lift him up, right? There's some value in that because it happens, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you have your daily life challenges that are not related to the business, and then you've got your daily business challenges that are not related to what's going on at home. And sometimes all of that can just come all at once.
Yeah.
And it's mm-hmm. a lot. It's a lot. And you've got to be able to manage some of that and all of that. In a lot of cases, it's all the time.
Yeah.
So you gotta be really on top of it.
Yeah.
So good partners.
We're only human.
Yeah. Yep.
Gotta have a good partner. If you don't have a good partner, it's gonna fail out of the gate.
I don't know
you
just how people do it without.
I see it all the time.
I don't know.
No idea.
So be humble, right? Listen to your partner and talk stuff through. It's okay.
It's mm-hmm. unrealistic. While we have partners at home mm-hmm. who are champions and cheering us on. They don't have the context. And so it's unrealistic to expect that person to help us navigate those things mm-hmm. as to where when you have a business partner
right.
who has that understanding.
It's, no question about it.
We don't know how people do this alone.
Yeah.
I would have given up a long time ago if it was just me by myself.
And then there's like, I would say there's always a shadow side to things like that too though, right? So like maybe you feel a certain way and you feel very strongly about that. And then your business partner is like, no, it's actually this way. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to come together and go, all right, let me see their perspective. Let them see my perspective. Now we got to come together.
Right.
Do you guys have moments like that? Was there ever like a, we are not eye to eye on this?
You know, this goes back to that whole find a good partner. Mm-hmm. Does it happen? Yes. Does it happen a lot? No. And because we're aligned on the vision, we're aligned on from a philosophical, how do you handle people? How do you handle, you know, spending, budgets, all of it, mm-hmm. right? And when we don't agree, we sit down, we have a conversation because we're adults and we can do that. And then we, you know, he hears my side, I hear his side, and then we respectfully agree and we move on, right? Because we could get hung up on it and we could spend a lot of time and energy and what's the point, mm-hmm. right? Where are we going to go with that? Mm-hmm. So as long as we both feel like we've been heard, then we can move on very, very quickly.
Yeah. And
decisions get made very fast that way. Right.
Amber and I have found that like when there are those moments of friction, we usually realize that we're both trying to get to the same place. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to do it two completely different ways. Yep. And one doesn't see that the other way will probably get you there and the other way will get you there. So it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, sometimes one of us just has to say, all right, let's just go with feeling very strong about this. Mm-hmm. Let's just mm-hmm. go with that. If you guys had moments like that where you just had to tell the story about Jeff Bezos.
Oh, yeah. My favorite stories of disagree but commit where his production team came in. They had rolled out distribution for Amazon for the videos, movies and such, TVs and movies. And his team came in and said, we have to make our own content. And he says, that's not what we do. Mm. We distribute things. We distribute products. That's what we do on Amazon. Now we distribute entertainment. Right. And they said, no, getting into the game of production, this is the next step. And his entire team was so passionate about this, they kept pitching him, and they made a really good argument. And he said, okay, I disagree, but I'm going to commit, which means I'm going to back this. I'm going to give it everything that I have. I'm going to resource you, but just let it be known that I didn't vote for this, but there's so many of you voting for it. You probably see something I don't see. Mm-hmm. And so that's helped us. And we've even had this conversation with our team before where there may be a decision that came and you may not agree with it, mm-hmm. but it's okay internally to say, I wouldn't have made that call, but I'm going to back it. I'm not going to try to subterfuge it, right? Just to prove my point that I was actually right. And he wrote this story in a letter to the shareholders saying the importance of listening to your team when and understanding that there will be decisions at times wherever you fall in the organization, whether it's between two business partners or a decision that's handed down from above, mm-hmm. where you go, I wouldn't have made that call, but I'm going to give it my everything.
Any moments like that for you guys?
Oh, certainly. I could probably dig up a couple of them, but what's interesting is that it goes back to that whole humble part, right? It's okay. I felt heard. I know you're right. So I'll commit to this and we're going to throw everything we've got at this. And I would tell you, I feel the same, if I've come to him with an idea and he wasn't completely on board at first, but we talk about it and we work our way through it. And then it's okay. We're going to commit to this and we're going to move on. We're going to make it a deal and we're going to go for it. Mm-hmm. And we discover if it works or not real quick. Mm-hmm. Right. And
if it doesn't work, I mean, that's just part of running a business.
Yeah. I mean, that is part of
running a business. You're going to
fail. There are times, no question.
Sometimes the failures are the things that you learn from the most and the things that propel you forward the farthest is that you took the risk, you allowed yourself to fail and learn that lesson. Mm-hmm. And now you're never going to do that again.
Exactly. Well, and to that point, right, there's past business experiences that both of us have had before we ever came together at YRefi. Mm-hmm. Because of those past business experiences, we don't make those same mistakes that we made in previous businesses because we've been there, done that. And I've said this many times, if you had to cross a minefield, okay, and you've got a guy that's been across this field two or three times, are you going to step where he steps or are you going to try to do it on your own? Mm-hmm. I'm going to step where he steps. He's been across that field a couple, three times by now. I know exactly where I'm going to step, mm-hmm. right? Because he knows where not to step. Mm-hmm. So same thing in business. So you just have to be willing to pay attention and listen. And again, be humble and work with it.
Right? Yeah. When people listening to this who know about your success and the success of the business, what they often want to know is, were there any key moments, key decisions along the way where you remember it as a pivotal point? Oh, we decided to do this and that launched us into this. Or we decided, no, not to partner with this person or try this thing. Were there any moments like that that stand out to you throughout the last...
More than I could count, I'm sure. If I sat and really thought about it, I mean... We were on the precipice of making various decisions that could have completely altered the company. Some of them could have ended the company. Going back to the beginning when we were deciding on how do we find the money for what we're doing? Do we go institutional or not? And we went down the institutional path a little ways and discovered that wasn't the right path.
Can you expand on that? Because we know this story.
Sure.
It's a good one.
Yep. So... we seeded the company with what we call a friends and family round. So my friends, my family, my former clients, they're the ones that stepped up and said, okay, we'll do this. Well, as you kind of hit the end of your Rolodex, you got to come up with what's the next plan. Well, the way things had been done in the past, in Don's experience, was institutional funding. Very familiar with it, been down that road, knew it very well. So let's go try that. So we get connected with a certain firm who I'll leave nameless. And we start going down that path and it took, 18 months-ish, maybe a little more before it was very clear that this is not the right path. That's a long time to go down a path before you change and come back. In the middle of that, we figured out how to raise capital from direct to consumer, direct to investors, under Regulation D. And we started building and learning. And I mean, I'm in the financial service business. I didn't really understand what that was. So I just started learning and building and he started learning and building. Next thing you know, we raised some money, got us through COVID, which was a really, really tight time. Mm-hmm. Things were, wow. You want to talk about a stress test on a company. Mm-hmm. That was a good one. But we learned a lot and we started to prepare for what we thought was going to come. And sure enough, it did. But we were prepared and continued to prepare. And we built an investment opportunity that was, frankly, counter to none. No one does anything like what we do on the investment side. So, innovation, entrepreneurship, capitalism, all bundled together. That's why YRefi in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. I mean, every aspect of what we do, it hits those three prongs. So does that answer your question at all?
Yeah, it does. And I think the most important part about that, what I heard is that you both just continued to learn. And even now with where the business is today and where it's continuing to go, both of you, this is a theme of who you both are as founders, is you just keep learning, researching, finding out what the options are out there, finding out what others are doing as you carve your path forward, because I have no doubt that the vision of the next 10 years is the kind of growth that you've experienced over the last 10 years.
I hope so. That's the plan, you know, that and then some, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody wants to stop. I mean, we're having a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So you keep doing it.
Yeah.
Can you share any of your goals or plans for the next 10 years?
Oh, man.
How about the next year?
Yeah, the next year is probably a whole lot easier than the next 10. In the next year, I would tell you that we will, I would say, double, maybe triple the size of the company in pretty much every angle.
Wow.
It might be more than that, but that's probably a reasonable goal. Like I said, there's a lot of people out there that need our help. So, you know, let's say it this way, we're 75 employees now. I will bet you were 150 employees at least by the end of 25.
Nice. Wow.
That's probably a pretty good estimate of where we're at.
That's in and of itself, that's a stress test on a company.
Every day there's another fun challenge. Employees will always bring you the surprise of the day. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Would you say that there is more planning that is necessary for scaling your business in the way that you just described? Or is there more just kind of jumping off a cliff involved? Just more risk, more faith, more
it's
just
a calculated,
keep moving forward. Yeah,
yeah. It's a calculated jump off a cliff.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Here's the thing is, and I've had this conversation with some folks, and what you can't do is go into analysis paralysis, because then nothing gets done, right? So it's a calculated risk. It's an educated risk, but it's a risk nonetheless, right? So, but if you sit around and you think about it too long, nothing's ever going to get done. You'll never move, right? You're just frozen constantly. And sometimes you have to be able to make decisions like that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's very much on the fly. Sometimes it's, let me think on it overnight. Sometimes it's, and you squirm in your chair a bit and you got to figure it out, right? You got the pucker factor and you just got to figure it out, right?
That was like a knowing laugh over
yep,
here.
You knew where I was going.
You're making me think of a previous mentor, someone that you worked for, you always used to say, look, see, move, look, see, move.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be the motto of a business owner, look, see, move.
Yep.
Yeah, if you think too much, you're not going to move.
Yeah.
And most people who can't build a business, unfortunately, like they may be very talented, but they can't move, they can't run a business or build a business because they can't do that.
Correct. It's unfortunate because
we didn't say don't look, see, and move. We said look, see, move.
Exactly. Because a lot of people have a good idea, right? Their widget, whatever their widget is, it's amazing, but they're not capable of executing all of the other parts.
Right.
And that's where, frankly, it all comes apart.
Yeah.
Right. It comes apart at the wheels, everything. Yeah. So you've got to be willing and able to do all of that, which goes to the constant learning, always reading, always learning, always studying. Dawn's very good at that. I try. I do the best I can, you know, keeping up with him sometimes. You got to get your running shoes on.
He's got a unique brain, for sure.
Unique brain. Get your running shoes on because you're going to be running.
Yeah, well, we actually, one of the first things we said to describe Don was that he's a man of momentum.
Oh, yes.
And we made sure that our team knew that as well. Yeah. This is a man of momentum. So anything we're doing, we had to keep the momentum going. So that's definitely been our theme going forward with you guys. But so are you guys, do you find yourself to be the same, or is he more the momentum guy and you're more the, or do you guys just kind of flip back and forth depending on the situation?
I think there's a little bit of that. I think that's one of the reasons we work well together is the momentum, you know. We can both, once we get going, we really get going. And now it's okay, you better get on this train or you better get out of the way because it's moving. you know, I'm Don's a big thinker. You know, he's always got the big picture going on. And I'm the guy that's kind of behind the scenes getting some of that grunt work done and has to be done. But I'm also moving pretty fast with that stuff because there's not a lot of time in the day. I mean, you're amazed at how fast 12 hours goes by.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I looked up the clock the other day and I was like, it couldn't possibly be 4:30. I feel like I just got here.
We say that all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, more and more days like that.
Yeah.
So you wanted to ask the...
Our flyer question?
Yep.
Okay, so our flyer question. I forgot our flyer question. I was so prepared. So
if,
I got it. It's back. I think you might need to help. Okay, so if
she wants
this,
to say it,
I really want to say it because I heard it the other day and I thought it was such a good question. So if this 5-year period, imagine you're in a 5-year bookmark of your life.
Okay.
What would this chapter, this 5-year chapter, be called? And why?
What would this 5-year chapter be called? So I think of that bumper sticker, get in, sit down, hold on. I would call this one buckle up.
Nice. Really
buckle up because, you know, things are moving fast and you better be in the car holding on, buckled in because here we go. Right. And there's no going back. There's no stopping.
Keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle yes. at all times.
Keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times. Absolutely. So, yeah, buckle up because we're doing it. And it's exciting times. You know,
I love it.
Never see this coming. And here we are. And who knows what tomorrow's going to bring.
Yeah.
Something fun, awesome. I hope.
Yeah. That's a bold and inspired mindset if I ever heard one.
Absolutely. So who inspires you? That'd be the last question.
Oh, who inspires me? Well, certainly my partner. I mean, you know, day in, day out, no question. If I look back over my life, I would say my grandfather, my dad, my father-in-law, my, you know, just the I could even say my agriculture teacher, if that's interesting to hear that, right?
Yeah, that is.
I still talk to him. Here we are 30-something years out of school, and I still talk to him.
Wow.
Because I learned so much, right? And these are just good, influential people. And I tend to gravitate towards people that are usually 10, 15, 20 years older than me just because the education that they bring is ridiculously good. Mm-hmm. So that's where I sit. You know?
I love that. You always want to learn.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Seems like you're very interested in, like you said, following the guys into the landmines.
what do they say? If you're the smartest guy in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you want to follow them into the landmines because you're excited about the adventure of it, or are you like what?
It's less about falling into the landmines.
Punishment, or
it's less about falling into the landmines as it is about my goal is over there. That thing that I want to do is right over there. I can see it, but I have to cross this field to get to it. And I know that this field is full of landmines. Who do I know that's been across this field?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have they been across the field? That's what I'm talking
about. It's really smart.
Right? Yeah, I'm gonna follow that person
mm-hmm.
because I know they know where to step. I know where they know not to step, which is most important.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing where to step is important. Knowing not where to step. don't step there. That's what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
Right? So it's
being brave and smart.
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes being brave doesn't get you to where you were intending to go.
No.
But brave and smart.
There's a lot of broke, brave people.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, you know, be careful about it, right?
Yeah.
You know, we got to be brave and smart.
Yep. Cool. Well, thanks for joining us. This has been great chatting with you. And
thanks for inviting me.
Inspiring. Yeah. You guys are very bold. We are inspired by you and definitely thank look you. Up to the both of you. So thank
appreciate
you.
That. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lane.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Bold and Inspired Leaders Podcast.
Keep making bold moves and leading inspired lives. See you next time.